Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Truth Ministries radio broadcast. This is Brother David Clark coming to you live again from WBOB Studios. I'm excited to be here today. It's a wonderful day to serve the Lord. Got a lot of things to be thankful for today. I hope that you are. Let's turn in our Bibles together. I'm going to start reading in Jeremiah 17. While you're turning there to follow along with me, I want to say that we welcome everyone tuning in from all the correctional facilities that listen around the area. All of our guys out there at Baker, Union, Bradford, we really appreciate you tuning in. If you're listening around the world via the website or on Facebook Live, we want to welcome you this morning. Say wherever you're listening from, thank you for tuning in and supporting the ministry. We really appreciate it. God bless you. And I hope that it's a help to you today. We're going to read Jeremiah 17. I've got several verses to read here. Just follow along if you can. We're going to talk about the heart today. The heart today. Let's read what Jeremiah says about the heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 1 says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It's etched. Listen. It's graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountains in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shall continue from thine heritage that I gave thee. I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Listen to verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord search the heart, or I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, these are strong words in the book of Jeremiah that the Lord is speaking to Judah. The Lord is speaking about the people of Judah, about their sin. He said, your sin is actually engraved upon your heart with a pen of iron and the point of the diamond. Me, your sin is there. It's legible. I can look at it. The Bible says here that he searches the heart and he tries the reins. God knows what's on my heart this morning. He knows what's in my heart. He knows the things that I desire. He knows what my intentions are. You've heard that phrase before. Well, God knows my heart. Well, we ought to be a little bit more reverent about that because he does know our hearts. God knows our intentions, but this is what the Bible says about our heart. You can't trust it. You can't put confidence in your heart. Now, what does this mean for us today? Brother David is not just saying this, talking about our heart and our physical blood pumping muscle. I'm talking about our emotions. I'm talking about our affections. I'm talking about the core of us and what we love and what we like and what makes us feel good. The Bible says you can't trust it. You can't put confidence in that this morning. Now, there's a lot of things happening in the church world today where people are preaching and teaching, and they are appealing to the heart of a man. They are promoting things in their doctrine and promoting programs within the church that appeals to people's hearts. If you want to collect money, you show some pictures of hungry children or hungry puppies or something like that. It appeals to people's hearts. It pulls, as we say, on the heartstrings. If you want someone to participate in something, show them something that moves their heart. But the problem is that that works bad things as well. If you want to have a lot of people in your church, you teach a doctrine that appeals to people's heart. It makes them feel good. It makes them feel like they can be a part of something with no sacrifice. It covers up the things that the Bible teaches, and it replaces those things with a seeker-friendly gospel that appeals to the heart of a man. But the problem is, the heart of a man is wicked. The heart of a man is deceitful, and we can't trust it. I can't go by my emotions. If I went by my own emotions this morning, I'd probably still be in bed. I probably would not be up. I'd probably, you know, be doing something else. I probably would not be in ministry. I probably would not work with the public in my job. You know, just because my heart tells me, you know, that this is going to cause you grief. It's going to cause sorrow. It's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's not always going to be fun. But I can't go by my heart. I have to be led by something else, something deeper, something more wise than my heart. Because my heart, as you well know, people's heart is so fickle. Now, let's look at this. I'm going to try not to get in trouble today, but let's look at the heart of a man, if you will. Let's look at one of the things that we associate our heart with. You know, just this morning on Facebook, if you like something or if you like something Brother David says, you have the option to click a heart on there, and it pops up on the screen and lets me know you like what I said. And that's a wonderful gesture, and I appreciate all that. My mom, I see, put one in the comments. When she said good morning, she put a little heart right there. You know, it signifies affection. It signifies that we support or we love something or someone. But when we get our heart involved with any equation, we begin to make mistakes and we begin to have our judgment clouded. Anyone ever heard the phrase, love is blind? It's the truth. Whenever you love something or someone, you see past their faults. You see past what they've done. Somebody can have a son or a daughter who's a drug addict who could rob them blind, steal and cheat and lie, take everything they own, but the heart of that parent still loves that child. They still love that son or daughter because your heart is involved. But the problem comes in this morning whenever the heart is involved, but the spirit is not. When the heart is involved, but you don't allow the spirit of God to be involved. The heart of a man is deceitful. Jeremiah said that plainly. The heart of a man is deceitful. It's not to be trusted today. Now, the way that you go about your daily life, the way that you go about your managing your affairs is very important because you can't go by your feelings. I've heard it said before, so-and-so wears their heart on their sleeve. You know, we say that for people who are a little more sensitive or tender. But the problem is you cannot be governed by your heart. You cannot. We write songs about this, friends. We make the secular world has all kinds of songs talking about being governed. Listen to your heart when it's calling to you. The heart wants what it wants. You understand what I'm saying? It's almost as if your heart tells you to do it, then you ought to follow your heart. But I want to submit to you this morning that we cannot follow our heart. A man and a woman, especially if you serve God in any capacity, if you claim to be born again, you cannot follow your own heart. The Bible said that thing is so deceitful. It's going to cause you to miss the will of God for your life. It's going to cause you to be in relationships that God never intended you to be in. It's going to cause you to buy things that God never intended you to buy. It's going to cause you to make decisions that are going to scar you and leave you bearing consequences for the rest of your life because you followed that deceitful thing called a heart. But listen to me this morning. It goes on here. Matthew 6 and 19. Let's read some more about this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Listen to verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be put full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Listen, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25 summarizes what we're talking about. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet food for your body, what you shall put on. It's not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much greater than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We've just read an account in Matthew how that we are naturally inclined to worry about the future. We're naturally inclined to worry about what tomorrow's going to hold, and my job and my retirement and my 401k and my health benefits and my family and my funeral arrangements and all these things. But the Bible is saying it's time for us to take a self-examination this morning at where our heart lies, because friends, our heart must be fixed on Christ. Our hearts must be fixed on the will of the Father. Now, we can mess around and follow our heart and make preparations and do the things that our heart tells us to do and listen to our flesh, and we can make sure that we do everything just right, but that heart is deceitful. Your emotions are deceitful. You can't trust them. We read in Jeremiah where it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't depend on my emotions to govern me. I can't depend on my feelings to govern me. I must be governed by the word of God today. I know if it feels good, this generation says, if it feels good, you ought maybe just do it. If it feels right, just do it. If it feels good to your flesh, just let yourself have it. Just give in to it. If that person makes you feel good, then just marry them or just be with them. If this thing, buying this thing makes you feel good, then just indulge in it. But I want to tell you you that your heart cannot be trusted today. The only thing that can be trusted is the Word of God, is Christ Jesus himself. I can't stress this to you enough today, that in the valley of decision, do not go by your feelings. Do not go by your heart. Don't make decisions in haste based on how you feel. Don't even return a reply based on how you feel. Don't give a reaction based on your feelings. Don't pray based on your feelings this morning, because your feelings will get you in a whole lot of trouble. Now, why is this so important today? Because in this seeker-friendly generation, this new age church hype generation, everything is geared towards the heart. Everything is geared towards the feelings. Everything that we do, when somebody walks into sanctuaries, we want them to be appealing to the heart of man. We want the messages to be appealing to the heart of a man. We want the songs to be appealing to the heart of a man. We want everything that is done to pull on the heartstrings of people, to get them emotionally involved. But I want to tell you this morning that you can't be emotionally involved when it comes to the things of God. Yes, when the Spirit of God moves on us, it can cause us to be emotional. But the heart is deceitful above all things. When you're choosing the spouse that you're going to take, when you're choosing what direction for your life to go, you can't let your heart get involved. You must, above all things, follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost in your life. Now, this is so important because people are being joined to the wrong spouse. People are being placed in the wrong job. People are being called into ministry by somebody else that appealed to their flesh. They're watching a video and it pulled on their heartstrings. Listen, there was a preacher, he called himself a preacher several years ago, who was on the radio, declared that the Lord was coming back in 2012. He made several false predictions, but he appealed to people and he scared them into thinking that he knew the date of the coming of the Lord. And the results from that was, it pulled people's heartstrings and they began to donate money to his ministry to further the message of his prediction. And people were selling all that they had, and they were emptying their retirement accounts, and they were taking away their kids' college funds, and they were selling everything and doing without, and moving over there where he was in California, and they were going bankrupt, giving him millions and millions of dollars, when we all knew, the people of us that serve God, the people that had common sense, I should say, knew that he wasn't telling the truth. We knew that it was a scam. We knew he was appealing to people's emotions, and it came out that he had made a false prediction several times, several different years in a row. He took all the money, and the man ended up dying of a stroke. He went to his grave to meet his maker, having bankrupted all these people because they followed their heart, friends, because they followed their emotions. You cannot follow that thing called a heart. The Bible says it's deceitful. Now, this morning, you may be in the valley of decision about something, and I've got a couple of decisions to make my own self. I've got some things that I've got to have the will of God in my life before I act or before I make a move. I've got to know the mind of God about it, but I cannot follow my heart, because I know what my heart wants is what feels good. What my heart wants is what's the least painful. It's the road that's most traveled. It's the broad way. It's what my heart wants, because it's less painful. But listen to what the Bible says about the life of a Christian, and if we are going to abstain from all pain and suffering. Listen to what Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, those are strong words, and it doesn't sound like the writer is telling me that everything's going to feel good, and that everything is going to be what I want it to be, and that I'm never going to have a hard time, and that everything's always going to appeal to me. Friends, this Christian walk is not always going to be fun. It's not always going to feel good. People are hateful. People are, they'll do you wrong. They'll rip your heart out, especially if you're in ministry. You got to have skin. I heard Brother Curtis Teague say one time, if you're going to be in ministry, you're going to have hide like a rhinoceros. You're going to have armor. You can't let it get to you. People are going to tear you down. They're going to lie on you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to do what they can to tear you down. But listen to what Philippians said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It may not feel good to me, but if I'm going to know him, if I'm going to be in fellowship with Christ, I'm going to have to be in fellowship with his suffering. I'm going to have to go through some things. I'm going to have to be conformable unto his death. I've got to die out to everything. That includes my will. That includes my feelings. That includes my emotions. If God tells me to do something, I can't reconsider because it hurts my feelings. I can't reconsider my calling because somebody wrote in a nasty email and told me they don't like the way that I preach on the radio, or because an inmate said that they didn't like something I said at the prison, or because somebody in my class at church doesn't like the way I comb my hair, or whatever. Those things haven't happened, but I'm saying if they did, my feelings cannot be involved in the equation. I must be governed by the Spirit of God, and I must know him. I must be acquainted with his suffering. I must know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let me say something very plainly this morning. A dead man don't have no feelings. You hear me today? I said a dead man don't have no feelings. If you're going to serve God today, you're going to have to die. You're going to have to come clean with God. You're going to have to die out to everything that was. A soldier, listen to me, a soldier in preparation to go out on the battlefield when they're in boot camp, that drill sergeant don't care about their feelings. He don't care about their emotions. He's not interested in what you feel. He's not interested in if it hurts your feelings or not. He don't care if you miss your mama. He don't care about that. He wants to toughen you up to be able to withstand the heat of the battle today. I want to tell somebody, you've got to get your heart off your sleeve. You've got to get some rhinoceros hide. You're going to have to toughen up a little bit and be conformed to the death of Christ, that you may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. Listen to me this morning. Let's read what Timothy says about it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. We've got to strive to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to endure hardness. It's not going to feel good. Let me tell you something. If I had any sense and I followed my heart, if I had any sense of my own self-gratification, if I wanted to build myself up, if I wanted to do what felt good, I'd not be behind this microphone preaching today, because let me explain something. This does not always feel good. The reaction from folks does not always feel good. What people say about you does not always feel good. Being in the limelight is not always pleasant, because you're under a microscope at all times. If you claim to know Christ, if you participate in any kind of ministry, the world and the church are going to put a microscope on you, and the things that they say and do are not always pleasant. But I did not sign up for this to please people. I did not enlist in this army to be pleasing to anybody else. I did not enlist in this for my heart to feel good all the time, because it's not going to. This is a way of suffering. This is a way of persecution. We're going to have to experience these things if we are to serve Christ. We read in Jeremiah how the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't trust my heart. I can't trust my emotions. I've got to be governed by something that is way more steadfast than my own heart, and that is the Spirit of God, this word that is given to us as a roadmap, as instructions, it's got to be what governs me. I must be steadfast in the word of God, steadfast in my walk with God. Nobody can say anything to sway us. We have to be steadfast in that. I know it's hard. I know when your best friend says something that cuts you deep, I know you're going to feel it. I know it's going to be hard to deal with. Listen, when Jesus hung on that cross, he was still man, even though he was God. His heart said in that garden, he was praying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. If it's your will to do this another way, then that's fine with me. But if not, let not my will, but thy will be done. We're going to have to exemplify the suffering of Christ. Father, if there's another way for this to be done, that's fine with me. But if you want me to suffer for your cause, then I'm just going to have to suffer. We had a speaker at our church Sunday night, Brother Daryl Turner. Many of you know him. And he was talking about God and the characteristics of God and how God allows things to happen. And that got my mind moving on these scriptures this morning on how that whenever something happens, we say, how could God do that? How could God allow that? But friends, my emotions cannot get involved. My heart cannot get involved. I cannot try to figure out the ways of God. I cannot try to dictate to him how he does things, because it's not my will. It's his will. We pray the prayer all the time. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It says, let thy will be, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We put it all on him as though it's God's responsible when something bad happens. But listen to me. My heart can't be involved this morning. Have you been suffering sickness in your body? You can't get mad at God and quit. Have you been dealing with something at home, a domestic issue? You can't get mad at God and quit. Friends, it's not about us feeling good. It's not about me going through this thing comfortable. We're going to suffer. We're going to have to endure hardness. But it's going to be worth it if we will endure. The Bible said, he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. Listen to me this morning. Brother David wants you to remember something. If you don't remember anything else, you can't trust your heart. If you're making a decision, if you're trying to decide which way to go, take your heart out of the situation. Remove it from the equation and get in the prayer closet. Get in the word of God and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I know it don't feel good. I know this is going to cut me deep. I know this is going to hurt, but let your will pierce me all the way down to my soul and spirit, and let me know what your will is for my life, because my heart will lead me astray. Sure, it'll feel good at first. It'll feel good. A seeker-friendly gospel at some modern church will feel good for a little while. The problem is you won't get anything in return from that. It'll feel all right. That the hype music will feel all right. You can dance to it. You can sway to it. You can bebop to it. But there's no power behind it. You listen to Brother David this morning while I get in trouble for my last 3 minutes on the air. You can follow after the trends and the patterns of the world. You can try to mix this gospel with everything that the world is, and it may feel good to your heart, but there's no power in it, and there's no redemption in it. You better listen to this preacher this morning. There's only one way, and there's only one Savior. There's only one salvation and redemption. That is through Jesus Christ, but it's also through him crucified that I may know him. Listen to what Timothy said. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God did not enlist me in this that I could be some self-gratifying follower of my own will and follower of my own heart, dancing to the beat of my own drum. We're a soldier in the army of the Lord. I've got to do what he says do. If God says go through it, I've got to go through it. I don't understand. My wife is laying home suffering right now. I've got a son that needs a healing in his body right now. I don't understand
understand that. But if this is the road that God has chosen, then I must be willing to fellowship with his suffering. If this is what God has chosen for your life, we've got to know him in his suffering if we're ever going to know him in his resurrection. Listen to me, friends. I'm out of time today, but I want to remind you, you're in an army today. We've enlisted in the army today. It's not about my feelings. It's not about what feels right to me. It's about what pleases God. I serve at the pleasure of God the Father. And that's the end of the discussion. I love you today, and I'm praying for you. I hope everyone's getting up ready to be in the house of God today. Don't go in your emotions. Don't go in there with your heart on your sleeve. Go as a soldier, ready to do battle and worship God the Father today. I'm praying for you. Write to me sometime, brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com. I'll see you next Sunday morning right here at 8:30 on WBOB. I love you. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.